Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's involved, man. Rabbit life.
I'm enjoying my nuts, though.
All right. Welcome to another Touchline Fracker. How's everyone doing? So we've got Michael here. What's that background change? That was quick, fam.
Just trying to show some love to Ollie, manager, yeah? Man. Just trying to show some love to him, man. You know.
Bruh, you changed still. You changed.
I flip-flop, man. I'm not consistent. That's one thing. I'm consistently inconsistent.
Fair enough. And of course, we got A1, Mr. Consistent like me. How you doing?
What's going on, my brother? Get me. 3-point. Old type the 3-point collectors. You get me?
Of course. As always. And we got our special guest today, Tyrone from Never. How you doing, bro?
I'm blessed, man. First of all, big up for having me. Great to see what you, man, are doing with the Mooga team, the whole Touchline Frackers thing. So, yeah, man, I'm excited to talk football today. I think it's going to be good. Obviously, you can find us at Never A Foul for all our generic content and also Trafford Tunnel, which is our Manchester United channel, which just launched. Had a bit of flex on the other day. Had Steve-O the Madman as well. So, yeah, man, come and support, show love. And, yeah, man, you guys keep doing what you're doing, man.
Of course. Love to see it, bro. Love to see it. But before we get into the action from the weekend, We got to talk about last week, boys. We got to talk about last week. We got bucked by some Utes. I can't even lie. They bucked us. But since you're the guest, Tyrone, what were your feelings going into the game?
But gotta be honest, going into the game, I thought 3 points, get the job done. No, I don't want none of this Istanbul 12 months ago business. Just go there and learn from your mistakes, first of all. So with the setup and this lineup, I weren't really complaining, to be honest. At the end of the day, Manchester United have got a good bench now, so we can rotate a couple of players and we should have enough to beat Young Boys. We take the lead, a bit out of nothing, if I'm honest. I don't think we're playing great. We never really do. Ronaldo got the goal, perfect, move on, 1-0. And I think, right, let's go and now get the second and third and kind of kill the game, because we never seem to do that. And as soon as the red card happened, I thought, Lord help us. Honestly, I just knew straight away Ollie's biggest fault. As much as I'm Ollie, and I'm going to say it now loud and clear, I'm more Ollie in at the moment, and I haven't ever changed on that. I thought, this is another. For his weaknesses, the in-game management, and straight away, he got it wrong, Elijah. Why are you taking off Sancho and bringing off your only pace outlet? I'm sorry, it was shit from then. Sorry about my language, but it was dead from then. It's easy to bring off Sancho, and then you bring off Van der Beek, who actually gives us ball retention, which you need when you're 10 man. It was just a car crash for me. Like, everything he made decision-wise from then, I was actually thinking, rah, this camera's mic is red. I was so close to hitting that button, but I didn't. I was close. But for me, I just think, you know what? The bottom line is, I came out of that game in the 90th minute and I was thinking, would I take a point with 5 games to go left in the group and we can get the job done? Yes. When we conceded in the last minute, I thought, oh my goodness, because we had chances to, you know, learn from that. And look at Liverpool and Chelsea's game. That was the perfect replica I looked at. Young Boys are not Liverpool. Chelsea went to Anfield and could have won the game with 10 men after 45 minutes. We done nothing at all of that. No shots after 24th minute. I think it's an embarrassment. I'll be honest, it's an embarrassment, but I swept it to the side and was like, right, we need to get the 3 points against West Ham and we've got 5 games to recover it. But Ollie got everything wrong from the substitutions from that 10th when we got the red card, man.
This time last week, it was said that I went on a bit of a rant about our Congolese right back. And,
Elijah, bro, you might be
another Molyneux fan. What are you? Are you not Wan-Bissaka in? Yeah, you Wan-Bissaka
out. Hey, Timmy. Boy. Timmy. The red card. It's been like 6 days now. What were your thoughts on it?
Fam, I can't understand how a man can get a red card from chasing his first touch. Like,
hey, A1, let's be real. That red card's been coming for a long time,
bro. And that is why he needs to start sitting on the bench. That is exactly why. Shout out my brother Ed. He says it all the time. Technical security. If you're playing for a team like Man United, you need that in abundance. Wan-Bissaka ain't got none of that. He ain't got none of that. We are in their own half, right? We are in total control of the game. We're en route winning 3-4-0, resting Pogba, Bruno, and Ronaldo for flipping Sunday's game against West Ham. The guy's first touch is like that of an elephant, bruv. His first touch took the ball so far away from him that in typical Wan-Bissaka fashion, in order to try and win the ball back, he's slide tackling around and flipping breakdancing like he's Eddie Gordo, bruv.
He tried overcompensating, man. Yeah, big up Laird as well.
It's ridiculous, bro. Bring Ethan Laird back from loan and give him a chance. And if you're not going to do that, let Dalot play. I couldn't believe I saw Wan-Bissaka back in that lineup on Sunday, bro. I could not believe
first
it.
First choice, innit? First choice.
Bro, no choice. I'm saying it now. I'd rather a new right back than a DM. I'd rather a new right back.
Slide tackling on the Astro, you know he's getting them leopard print cuts.
I don't care. You can call me mad. Call me whatever you want. I'm sorry. I've had enough. And we're even going to get onto him in yesterday's game as well. But I've had enough.
That red card
was shambolic, bro. Shambolic. Yeah. How do you get a red card from that? How?
He calls himself the spider, but the ball don't stick. The thing is,
if your touch is wayward in your own half, and then you try and win the ball back, and you get a red card doing that, fine. It's still shit, but fine. Brother, we were in their half. There is no immediate danger. What are you doing? What are you really doing?
Hey, what? The thing is, though, is Dalot actually competent enough to be his replacement? It's not that.
Bro, you know what?
I'm going to be real. I didn't want Trippier. But I see why these men at the club might have wanted Trippier now.
You know what? Ollie knows best, innit? Fuck it. Ollie knows best, innit? Because Wan-Bissaka ain't it, fam. He's not it. I'm sorry. I like him defensively. But outside that, he's not it, bro. He's not it. I saw him on Sunday. Bro, there was a time in the game. I don't know if you lot remember. There was a time in the game at 1-1. There was probably like 10, 15 minutes left. Varane's driving forward with the ball, yeah? Bro, he's literally driving straight to Wan-Bissaka. The guy did not move. No run down the line.
He don't want the ball. He don't want it.
Just, bro, Varane is literally running straight.
We got DMs that don't want the ball. Look, man, he don't want the ball. We got DMs that don't want the ball.
Listen, yeah. Three things in life that are guaranteed. You've got death, you've got taxes, and you've got Wan-Bissaka cutting inside when he should be crossing the ball.
Hey, listen. I was at the Ronaldo game, yeah, and I could see Ronaldo's eyes burning. Bro. The amount of times Wan-Bissaka, yeah, got in that position and he just does the little and then plays it back inside. I'm sick of that. I can't lie.
That's his thing.
That must be the way Jules Gell in the club are looking.
That's it. Oh, on the dance floor, he's a menace.
After that red card, Ollie makes a sub. I believe he brought on Dalot for Sancho. Pretty standard. And then he makes another sub at half time where he takes off Van de Beek for Varane. And he goes to three at the back. What did you make of those two changes in terms of who came on and who came off?
Yeah, as Tyrone alluded to, you took off Sancho. You're taking off your pace outlet. You're taking off. You're playing against 10 men. So we're playing with 10 men. Sorry. So you need to stretch the other team. You need to break on them. So you sort of have a sort of low block. Then you sort of try counter attack. And you got someone like Sancho, who's pacey, who can dribble, who can create chances and score chances. So the fact that you're taking on your only real pacey outlet, Ronaldo's not the pacey guy he wants. He's across short distances. He can sprint, but you don't expect him to be breaking lines like that. So I was very surprised that he took him off, that he was a sacrificial lamb. And then it's almost like he didn't like his decision because he then goes to three at the back at half time. So then it just means that we had no real outlet and we're just trying to defend. At that point, it was a 1-0 lead. We're trying to defend a 1-0 lead for 45 minutes. And it's almost like he backed the team to be able to defend for 45 minutes. And it's almost like we're not good enough to defend. We aren't good enough to defend.
But Michael, my question for you, because obviously you say we weren't good enough to defend. We defended, you could say, well, because Lingard gifted them the goal. Was you at that time happy with the point and saying, do you know what, we've got five more games to go, let's just take the point and move? Or were you generally not happy with the display because we showed no attacking impetus?
The latter. I was like, rah, like, well, this is the team. This is meant to be the whipping boys of the whole group. And we're fully here trying to hang on. This is the team that... At Man United, we're looking to comfortably win this group. That should be the aim, to win the group comfortably. How are you going to your first game in the group? You're losing to the whipping boys at the start. So now we're under big pressure now. Obviously, there's five games still to go. We can turn it around. So after that, you know, dust yourself down. Lingard makes a mistake, which he atones for. And then we can bring it back. We can win the group still, but we have to start winning games. But it just... At European level, Oli gets found out. And it was managerial decisions. We could have still won that game if the managerial decisions were correct. But Oli, when it comes to those high-level tactical decisions, I'm not sure he's all there.
Champions League record speaks for itself as well, isn't it? We've won 4 out of 11 under him so far.
Yep. Seven out of 11. He's lost 2 to Barca, 2 to PSG. Leipzig, Istanbul, and Young Boys. So,
Do you know the thing? Sorry, Elijah, just quickly. You need 12 points really to get through the group. Sometimes 10 and 11 are good enough, but you know, a team like Man United, we're expected to win all our home games and then take one away game, right? Then you take the away game and then you're comfortably through. That loss there is so reminiscent of the loss against Istanbul, the fact that we lose away to the worst team in the group, the team that everybody else is expected to collect 6 points from. It's now, our job is now harder because we now have to go to either Villarreal or Atalanta and win. That's to ensure that we go through. Talk less of the fact that we might not even beat all of them at home.
Yeah.
Right? We now have to go away and get a result in Italy or Spain, where traditionally we don't travel very well anyway. So that game was super important. I think Oli's tactics were just terrible. Like, I don't care with who we had on the pitch, with 10 men, we should still be beating Young Boys. It's not as if Wan-Bissaka adds much anyway. You know what I mean? Like, we should still be beating Young Boys. It was poor from him. Like, all right, Jesse made a mistake that led to them winning the game. And all right, with 5 minutes left, you look at the game and think, all right, cool, I'll take a draw. Yes. But the point is, it's still sickening to think that is the style of play that we produce going down to 10 men against a team like Atalanta. Against a team like Young Boys, when we've got the likes of Ronaldo, Bruno and Pogba on the pitch. It's shameful, bro.
If I could ask all you three, we're all obviously Elijah, I know he hasn't had his say, but in regards to the subs, we're obviously not happy with the subs that were made. If I could put the question to you, man, now, what subs have you man have made? Sorry to put you on the spot, but that's what we're here to do. Pressure questions, isn't it?
I bring on Greenwood. I bring on Martial earlier. And I'll probably bring on Lingard as well. Those would be my three subs.
Okay, so you want some ball carriers and you want some pacing behind. Yeah, 100%.
Basically.
For Ledger. Me, I'm bringing off Pogba, personally. I feel like he had a horrible first half. And if we're down to 10 men, as much as I love him, he can be, especially from that first half, he was turning over the ball. So I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to bring you off. I'll keep on Sancho. I'll keep on Van de Beek. I actually didn't mind the decision to go three at the back, but I did mind it in the sense that he brought on a defender for Sancho. If you're going to go three at the back, I would have done 3-3-3 and gone super attack and try to put the game to bed. And I know it puts a lot of pressure on the wingers because they'll have to get back. But I feel like a 3-3-3 or 3-5-1, that would be something that would be good. But Pogba's coming off. And the Varane change, I didn't mind that much. But the way we played it was very, very defensive. Dalot and Shaw were horrible outlets. Bruno and Pogba were very, very poor on the ball. Fred, for as much as he's criticised, I feel like he'd done pretty well. But yeah, that guy, he thrives in chaos, so that makes sense. So,
he does. When the ball's playing scramble, yeah.
So,
he loves it.
Was a good game for him because he was being chaotic. He was basically in the midfield on his own. But I mean, we essentially left Ronaldo up top as a 36-year-old man and was basically saying, you know what, do your thing.
100%. Doesn't work for me. That's what I think annoyed me, first of all. I was happy with the change to five at the back. I think I would have brought on Martial as well. I would have brought on Lingard. I would have taken off Pogba. I agree with you there. And I probably would have taken off Fernandes because as much as I know he works hard, I would have felt like the complementary side of Fred and Van de Beek would have kept the ball a bit better and at least we had a bit more energy in there. I just think he went to five at the back and it didn't even feel like it was a 5-3-1. It felt like it was like a 5-1-2 because Ronaldo and Bruno were just on the wings. They weren't really even playing centrally either. And I was like, these men are not even wingers. So for me, it's like, we'll probably get to it later on, but one of my big beacons with Ollie is the favoritism. It's like he's sometimes scared to make them big decisions or piss someone off. Pochettino done it last night. Yes, Messi might look at him and say, I'm not going to shake your Wagwan hand, but at the end of the day, did they get the 3 points? Yes, they did, because Icardi comes on and scores. So for me, I think Ollie kind of was scared to make the decision, thinking if it backfires, everyone's going to be like, oh, I took off Ronaldo, I took off Pogba, I took off Fernandes. However, if it worked, then he would have been a genius. But I feel like it would have worked if he'd done that because, like you, man, have said, the pace outlet was taken off with Sancho. We had no ball retention in there. Bruno Fernandes, we all know he needs to work with spacing behind. He needs to be on the half turn, playing the ball sort of erratically. He ain't going to keep the ball for 5 seconds. The guy just wants to get it and get rid straight away. So I just think we got it completely wrong. And I think the scariest part for me is just, did we learn from 12 months ago with Istanbul? I don't think we really did because that was a moment to show it. Even though it's a different type of game, we didn't learn from it. And I think A1 touched on a great point. We've got Villarreal away. Obviously, we play them at home, but we've got them away still to play. We've played Villarreal 6 times. We've got 5 0-0s and 1-1-all, which is in the Europa League final. We haven't beat them. And for me, they're a B-Tech Atletico. We struggle to break them teams down. And Atalanta, let's be honest, Juan Zapata, they've got goals in them. That could be 4-3 either way. I'm not going there banking on us winning that game. That could be what Michael said, that's chaos. That game's got goals all over it, but I don't know which end. So we're putting ourselves in a massive predicament here. And obviously, like, our away form is standing out at the moment. Our home form has been poor, so there's no guarantee we win them home games. So poor start. We have to pick ourselves up and move on. And if Manchester United can't get out of this group, they've only got themselves to blame.
Last question in the game. How confident are you that we're going to get through the group? And yeah, how confident were you before the game and how confident are you now? Just an open question to everyone.
I thought with Ronaldo coming back, obviously Champions League is his baby, innit? That's his bread and butter. So I thought, getting out of the group is going to be light work. I thought, get to the quarters, see what he's saying. Now, with this, I just want us to get out of the group. I'm not that confident now, just because it started off a bit shaky. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we come out the group top and we go and we can play a runner-up of another group and take it from there. But I'm not that confident now, just because a bit of fear's crept in. If decisions don't go our way, the team's looking shaky. Oli, when he has to make decisions, isn't making the right ones at that level. So time will tell. But yeah, definitely lost confidence after that defeat, 100%.
Timmy?
I think we'll go through still. But I think it will be because a lot of results will go in our favour. Like, we got so lucky with the draw already at Atlanta and Villarreal. That was the best thing we could hope for. And as long as we do our job at home, which I'm banking on us doing, we should have enough to get a point from a Villarreal or an Atlanta that should really see us through. So, yeah, I think we go through. We scrape it. I'm going to say first for now, but it could easily be second.
Tyrone?
I think we win our home games. There's going to be a bumpy ride. I'm telling you now, there's going to be a game where we're 1-1 and we have to survive in the last 10 minutes and get the win. I think we got us 9 points. And I do think we win one away games. I think we get 12. I think we can lose another game in the group, to be honest, but I think we go through in 12. I don't even know if we finish top, but we've got to make it out, man. I'll be so disappointed in the squad depth we've got now if we do not make it out. And the reason I say that is, I've said it on multiple podcasts, the Champions League for me is much more suited to Manchester United than the Premier League, and I really think we can win it. People might laugh, but I think this is such an open competition over two legs, teams coming on to us in the knockouts. I'm waiting for that because that's what suits us more, and I think we can outscore teams, man.
Do you know what? It's so funny because I think every United fan thinks that the Champions League is so much more suited to us, and yet there are so many occasions where we've just let ourselves down under Solskjaer. Less so with the Barcelona quarterfinal, because that was just when he came in and we had a few injuries. But especially last season, it was so disappointing. And even in the Europa League, there's two times we've let ourselves down. So it's weird. There's this conflicting evidence there, because when we are good in the Champions League, that's where we look our best. But when we are bad, that's probably where we look even worse. So it'll be interesting to see. But I feel like, yeah, it's time to move on from that game. And to yesterday's game, a very interesting game for me. It was very it was a very interesting game for me. What did you think? Of course, Timmy, you went to the game, was in the away end, cheering on the boys, as you love to do.
What an experience, man. Oh, my God.
I love the United away end, man. The best away fans in the country by far.
Bro, it's not even close, bro. These men didn't shut up, fam.
Bro.
My word.
Bro, even when we're losing, they don't shut up, bro. I love it, man. I love it. But yeah, what did you think of the game? Because obviously you were at the stadium. Want to know everything.
I thought we started really well. We had a lot of possession. We won a few corners early on. The ball was getting moved quickly, and it seemed like we were playing with quite a bit of impetus. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember thinking after like 5 minutes, all right, like, Oli wants to put that young boy's loss right. So, you know, if we keep playing like this, then it could be 3 or 4. But in typical United fashion, we slow down. We let West Ham get a foothold of the game, and they just sent out a couple warning shots. Maguire getting ripped on the right-hand channel in the first half, which easy on another day, they could have gone 1-0 up. Luckily, they didn't. And then we just were losing the ball. Bruno was losing the ball quite a little bit. Fred was being Fred. Ronaldo was huffing and puffing. And it was after like 20, 25 minutes, it's like, all right, we're in a battle now. And then West Ham go 1-0 up. Through sustained pressure, I'd say they'd had the better 10 minutes. And they go 1-0 up. Can't really blame anyone for the goal. I think took a deflection. There's not much you can do. They give it to Benrahma and whatnot. I like how we responded, though, instantly. And can I just say, everyone talks about how Ronaldo's finished and Ronaldo's not this and not what he used to be. If he's anything, he's a great poacher now, because these goals he's scoring, what's that? Is that two or three tap-ins that he's got now? I think it's three.
Young boys.
Young boys, Newcastle. Yeah, that's three out of four, yeah.
His awareness and how alert he is to loose balls is unbelievable. He's going to get another five goals like that this season, for sure. Easy. Right? Having him, it just puts me at ease. We got back into the game quickly. And then I thought, we'll go on and win. Second half, we started the same way. By the way, Pogba, quality first half for me. I think he was our best player in the first half. Tailed off a bit in the second. Got tired or whatever. He was playing too much. But I was really impressed with his first half performance. And in the second half, it's the same thing. We started really well. And this time, it was a good, 10, 15 minutes of sustained pressure. Bar the Wan-Bissaka foul on Suchek, which really the penalty, but it was all us. And I thought, the same thing. We'll go and get a goal and then we can settle. And that goal didn't come. So we then let West Ham get back into the game. And as West Ham are getting back into the game, we're getting a lot more, we're becoming a lot more cautious, because now it's like, okay, we want to win the game, but we also don't want to lose the game. And time's ticking away. I was with Rodney and I was with Solly. And I said to Rodney, I said, this guy's not going to make a substitution until the 80th minute. And I think he proved me wrong, because I think it was like the 67th or so where the substitution came. Correct me if I'm wrong, I may be wrong. And he brought on Lingard and Sancho. And those were two good substitutions, in my opinion. I think he got them spot on. Mason was really quiet yesterday. He's always going to be dangerous because he can do anything off both feet, but he was really, really quiet yesterday. So I think, bringing Lingard on for him was good. And then Sancho on for a tired Pogba, who his second half was nothing like the first half. He needed a rest, and I was cool with it, because I said, Jesse can get you a goal, and Sancho's got this chip on his shoulder right now, because he sees the slander that he's getting. He's just like us. He's like us with more money, you know what I mean? He sees the tweets, he sees it all, you know what I mean? So he sees the slander he's been getting. So I thought, all right, he's gonna wanna do something. And lo and behold, sorry. And then the Matic substitution came in the 85th or so. And I thought at this point, Ollie wants a draw and he don't think he's going
to Yes, facts. I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
So Matic is just going to come in, shore it up, and we'll go home with a draw. But then, and this is one thing that you can't fault Matic for, and Elijah says it all the time, he's always tricking us. Because first half of the season, he does shit like this. He just wraps the ball in one time, fam.
He does. The line breaking pass, the daily blimp passes, man.
He's been doing it as well. But take nothing away from Jesse, because the shift, the ball out of the way that he moves the ball out of his feet, and there's not many better than him at curling it into the far corner. There's not many better. And he's flipping. He's picked out a beauty, innit? And at this point, I'm just in elation. I know you lot can hear my voice is gone, bro. It's gone. But it wasn't even because of that the voice was gone. It was what came next. My boy. Hey. Elijah, I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to talk. Mine was a lot now.
Hey, man's got one. Mine was a lot
now. Let me finish, bro. I don't know what Lucas Shaw was doing, innit? But whatever. They get a penalty. I don't know who Moyes thinks he is. On some flipping Louis van Gaal thing, you think you can bring on a man to just take a penalty and slap it and slap it in, bro? I don't know why. I had faith. I said God won't let me come to my first away game and not pick up 3 points. He won't do it to me. I said don't fear. De Gea saving that pen. I've even got my phone out recording it, because I knew obviously if Noble scored, then no one sees that, innit? But I got my phone out recording, and bro, the elation when De Gea gets his hand to that penalty, bro. Yeah, I'm still smiling, fam. On God, I'm still smiling, bro. That's my moment of the year, bro. Because after everything, after Villarreal, after all the slander he's got for the past 2.5 years.
Everything, man.
He's finally done something to get the fans back onto his side, innit?
Needed that.
And bro, it just
felt you see the way Ollie's crashing bottles on the floor. I thought, right,
hey, hey, Ollie was vexed, but the thing was, it was a penalty. It was
a penalty. No, what's annoying is
Ronaldo had two of them. Ronaldo should have had two pens.
Zuma took
and
him out.
And they didn't even go to VAR. I don't understand how you're not going to VAR.
Zuma and Kufal.
That was a stone waller. That Kufal one was a stone waller, bro. They didn't even go to VAR. I don't understand it, but it seems like this season they're not trying to give United no help.
Nah.
They're not trying to give United.
Fernandes has got in their head.
Nah, the Fergie money ran out, man.
David Gill's on the beach.
Some question I want to ask about a few players. We'll go back to front. I mean, Timmy's had his little monologue about De Gea. Tyrone and Michael.
Hey, we can go again, though.
Ah, leave it.
No. You had your monologue. You muted me. Now it's actually my time to mute you. Michael, Tyrone, what do you think about De Gea?
You better be saying good stuff, then.
Go on, mate.
He ran it back, man. You know, obviously, we know David De Gea as a shot stopper. We know what he can do. Like, you know, he was our main man for many a year, particularly after Fergie left. David De Gea was the only one that was really showing what's really good, man. And then over the last few years, he's not been at his best. He's had some competition. Finally had some decent competition with Dean Henderson. But obviously Dean Henderson didn't start the season, so David De Gea has been number one, and he had his chance, man. Well, I heard that he's since October 2014, he's not saved the penalty. So it's what?
And I guarantee that must have been Leighton Baines's.
Yep.
Oh my God, that's when Cal was at the club.
Yeah.
Years ago, he ain't saved one since his best year. So obviously, man like Noble, he licks these penalties in. Like, his record from a numbers perspective is nuts. So that's why Moyes thought, you know what, bring him on cold. He's just going to lick this pen. It's a 2-2 thing, and we keep it moving. But the gods were with him, man, and he made the save. It wasn't right in the corner, but it was a good hype for him, but he still made the save regardless. He committed to it, got down, saved it. And, you know, that will do him the world of good, man. That'll do him the world of good. So when we talk about the best Premier League keepers in the Premier League, hopefully that spurs him on to sort of reclaim that title, because he's lost it to the two Brazilians right now.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I think
that back.
Boy, I can't really follow you, man. Let me just tell Noble as well. This ain't Power League, bro. You can't come on and do them things. This ain't Power League, bro.
Man didn't even have a warm-up. He just walks up to the pitch thinking he's going to pick up a jewel.
Come on, pull up the socks. Pull up the socks knee-high. Nah,
no shin pads. I said, let me take this quickly.
No shin pads, but let me none of that. Hey, but now, real talk, I think, you know, your guys' points on De Gea, I think, is great, man. Like, that game you just touched on when he saved the penalty, I think that was the same one where in the last few moments he had the save from, I think it was Brian Oviedo and another guy, and it was their phenomenal shot stopping saves. I think Michael touched on it perfectly. He's there for shot stopping. De Gea is at his best when we're actually facing shots. Look at the Arsenal performance 3 years ago. 100%. De Gea is there to be a goalkeeper. He likes being active. I always feel like when he's coming in from the cold or we've been dominating possession, that's when the mistakes happen. And I think The timing is everything. There's been a few clubs for me over the recent years that haven't been really settled in terms of European goalkeepers. You look at Juventus, they've been going a bit up and down. They've got Szczesny there. Real Madrid have been a bit, obviously with Courtois in and out and form and stuff like that. Then you have PSG, they've had Keylor Navas. And then I can't remember who they had before that, Areola. And they've never really been that settled. And then Barcelona, obviously they had Ter Stegen, but then he was a slow burner, I'd say, into his form. So there's always been sort of reports of De Gea going back across Europe. Even with Oblak, people were saying that Oblak could go for big money. Chelsea were looking at him as well. So in my mind, De Gea is thinking, you know, he's got a child now. 2 years ago, should I make the move now? Because I'm 29, 30 years old, get one big contract and play out and get back into the Spain squad. This guy is on 400 grand a week. He's the highest paid player, probably in the league now. And he's Spain's number three, people. Spain's number three. Yikes. You get me?
Well,
and his Manchester United is number one. So this is what I mean. Yeah, when you put the whole thing into like complex, this is the season that was like make or break for him, for me. Like, I think he's been quite consistent for us. Every keeper goes through bad form. But for a keeper, 30 years of age, that's when keepers kind of still come into their prime. He came to us as a young, raw kitten, and we've developed him and seen him grow into a man. And I think that Henderson sort of switch last year has again triggered him, made him hungrier. A lot of players could have said, you know what, I've won a lot at Manchester United. I'm going to take the easy ride and look for a European move, and I'll take a little downsize on my contract. No, De Gea has never come out and said he wanted to leave the club. He's never been linked with leaving the club. He's always wanted to play. And, you know, Henderson, unfortunately for you, bro, you've got COVID. But did you step up for me when you were given the chances, number one? I didn't think so. I remember that goal against Mo Salah when you basically said, here you go, pass the ball into the net. Yes. There's been times where he comes out. I think there was a game where he played away at Spurs and everyone was getting gassed because he was doing the sweeper thing. He must have checked Twitter and all of a sudden he tried doing this sweeper thing every game and it was calamity. He's colliding into man. So for me, Henderson's not ready for the number one role anyway. Yes, he's a prospect, but he's not ready. So the timing of everything in football has come back to De Gea. And now he's taken that moment. We haven't seen no mistakes. He's been holding the ball better, which I didn't think that's something he's really been accustomed to. So I'm happy for him, man. I think he needed that moment. You know, you see the way Ollie's running on the pitch. The players are congratulating him after. We're all human at the end of the day. And I say this on multiple pods. I could be on 500 grand a week and chilling with you, man. But if I'm feeling shit or I'm not really happy where I'm playing, that's how I feel. Money's not going to change that. But for him to wake up every day now, feeling that love, feeling that fan loves. He's excited. He's going into training tomorrow. He's like, bring me the next game. Bring me Aston Villa at 12:30. And that's what I love about him and his attitude and these players right now and the harmony, man. They're ready to go the next game. They could play tomorrow. So, I'm really happy for De Gea. I'll be honest. I was nervous that he weren't going to save it. But I'm quite superstitious. And before the game, I see Paddy Power advertising 2-1, 2-1. And I'm thinking, this is the day of 2-1. So, yeah, man, I'm really happy for him. A good
you
save.
You put a bet on.
I didn't, man. You know what? My missus' dad's a diehard West Ham fan. He normally goes to every game. For unfortunately, obviously, A1 knows he had a family loss in that, so we stayed and watched it together. I'm telling you now, come the end of that game, man wanted to kick me out the yard. man weren't giving it the father-in-law talk anymore. But I got to big up, obviously, De Gea for that. And I think it's a vital 3 points. I think what I want to say, Elijah, is from that game, it epitomises Manchester United. We don't really have a style. We play in spells. And one thing I've really noticed in the last of 6 to 8 months is what A1 touched on. We start very well. First 15, 20 minutes. But what do we used to do when we played under Fergie? We'd be 2-0 up by then. What are we doing under Ollie? We go 0-0 and we seem to run out of ideas between that sort of 20 minutes to 35 minute bracket. Teams then grow into the game. We come out in the second half, normally start all right again. We get to the 55 minutes to 70th minute and then West Ham had a spell again. And it seems to be a reoccurring pattern where we can't get this early goal and then break off and kill teams. And for me, that's what really worries me because over the league, this is 38 games. And we could touch on the Southampton game away. We were 1-1 against them. Got to the 70th minute. I'm thinking, come on, let's try and get a chance and win it. They were happy to sit and take a point. Southampton at home, they're playing Manchester United. They want to collect their points against Brentford and Watford and so forth. They're happy to get a point. And we need to find a way now to break down these teams. And again, Matic, come on, made a difference with his line-breaking pass, punching through the lines. And it's now got me thinking, what is our best pivot? I hate Matic Pogba. I hate Fred McTominay together because they're just in there for energy. Man. But yeah, what you Pogba Matic
is the best out of what we have.
I'll be honest with you, Michael. It's not like you look at their Wolves game last year when Rashford bagged it in the 95th minute. How many times did Wolves get in behind in that first half?
Oh, defensively, and they're terrible.
I had to come out and do his fly kick and save us. Like, there's no real pivot there. And as much as people say, oh, the DM is a bit of an excuse, it's a big excuse because it's in the middle of the park. And we're just going to see these problems, man. So this win masks what really is going on at the club, man. There's still these big issues, bro.
Yeah. Before I get on to a question about some other players, I think it's just symptomatic of the fact that in Timmy's description, he was talking about us having spells, West Ham having spells. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't have the control in the middle of the pitch, that's always going to happen. For me, I thought McTominay actually was probably the best midfield on the pitch because I thought the midfield battle was pretty poor. Yeah, I can't lie. Bruno.
Elijah, you know ball, but boy, he looked rushed back.
No. Fred was horrendous. Fred looked so much worse than McTominay. Bruno, for me,
Rice was really good.
Rice to me looked very
very average. This is why I don't want Declan Rice in our side, because I'm telling you now, we've never played Michael Carrick. He would really do.
Rice to me looked exactly the same as McTominay, but I feel like McTominay, when he was actually given time and space, he was able to actually pass the ball forward. I thought, for the fact that it was his first game back, and also the fact he was playing with the worst Fred I've seen in my life, because that Fred performance was a fucking disgrace. He needs to get out of the team.
Nah, Elijah. Fred versus Wolves was worse.
I'm so glad that I didn't watch that game, man.
I'm surprised that everyone's even Sarfo is in the comments. McTominay done his thing. I don't know. Me and Michael Kaiser are just gonna like.
I didn't think he was great, bro.
No.
There was no control really in the midfield by anyone. I mean, like if you included Bruno, and I guess you'd include Benrahma. Benrahma had a good game, but I thought Rice and Souček were good because they were so hard to like break down. If that makes sense,
I don't think West Ham's midfield are great at all.
We never cut through them, not once.
We had 17 shots, 10 on target. I actually think performance-wise, that was probably one of our best in the season. You can see what Ollie wanted to do.
I
think you can see what Ollie wanted to do, but the execution wasn't always there.
Because the DMs were hiding. Every time Varane had the ball, they were hiding.
No. Look, what I'm going to say is, for me...
they were hiding.
For me, that was good.
Sure. Elijah's got everyone onto him.
Bro, I don't care. So Rodney, scary. Fuck you too. But look, yeah. But look here. Let's go on.
Elijah and Mark. Why is Mark catching his face? Why is Mark catching his face, man?
Bro, but I'm gonna call these two the Euro boys because they went off to the Euros in great form. They had the jolly up at there. And for me, since I've come back to United, they've been smelling Maguire and Shaw, them two, the Euro boys. What do you think of them two? Because personally, for me, I thought both were poor yesterday.
Let me start. Hey, Maguire, you see this thing that hangs on your bicep? Hand it over at training tomorrow, because you are not good enough to be playing alongside Varane at the moment. The guy has been getting caught on the ball every game.
He was sleeping.
Honestly, Wolves caught on the ball. Southampton, Armstrong like fly around shit on his legs. And then yesterday, Bowen tries getting him. He could have conceded 3 goals, but because he's a captain and he's old Maguire and that, and he speaks well and he carries him everyone well in the changing room. I've had enough of that. Varane has come in and said, listen, my man, Champions League winner. World Cup winner. This is what you do to win trophies. You don't do this dilly-dally thing. I'm sorry, but I feel like since he's come into the team, Maguire's like, raw, I need to step up. And now he's overplaying. Nah, not calm down. Maguire has got away with him. Listen, Maguire is getting away with murder right now. Like, Varane, I said it already, is top 3 centre-backs in the world, and people might disagree. I think I have Varane, I have Van Dijk, I have Marquinhos in there. Varane has made people realise, if they hadn't already, that Maguire is B-tier and Varane is A-tier. And for me, like, as much as I think Maguire is obviously okay in terms of morale and the changing rooms, and, you know, he tries playing ball out and that stuff like that, I would love to see a Varane-Bai partnership, because Bai is better than Varane, and Bai is better than, sorry, Maguire in most departments, apart from probably playing out from the back, even though Bai is good at punching it through the lines. But I'm so sorry. He's getting...
Hey, wait, hold on.
Okay, forget the Bai team then, but Maguire. No, forget that. But Maguire needs to up it.
You love these guys that aren't good enough, you know?
Nah, listen.
Marshall, I don't care.
Maguire needs to chill.
Let him speak.
You're near Luton. Your plane can land in a minute. Yeah. So Maguire, I'm telling you, has to step up because he's getting away with it. I'm telling you now, I watch games and I don't care if we're winning. I'm watching individuals, movement, everything. He could have cost us 3 goals, and that could have been, say again, sorry?
Maguire, Cam, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, and I just think at the end of the day, if you're captain of Manchester United, set an example. Stop playing this fancy ball thing and look at Varane, how he's coming accomplished. We've not even conceded from set piece. Who's winning them? Varane. Who's playing nice passes? Left foot, right foot. Varane. Who's commanding on the ball and calm on the ball? Varane. Maguire, for me, has just looked very nervous since Varane's come in because he knows that Varane's better and he's like, right, I need to now step up. And for me, he has not stepped up. And I'm nervous for him. Honestly, like, Maguire's making me nervous, man.
With Maguire,
if you man are happy with him,
no, wait, bro.
Listen, bro, let's tell you, yeah, this rant that you just went on, man can find a rant, an exact same rant that I did in July 2020, bro. This exact same rant that you just went on, he's not good enough. I agree with you that he's not good enough, but nor is Bailly, bro. That's all I was saying. The man that
but
can't stay
when did we go A1 just quickly. When Bailly come in, what was it last year? 9 out of 11 games, 9 clean sheets, went top of the table. Him and Pogba got injured, the wheels fell off. Why are you not rating Bailly? No, I'm sorry, but he's got the pace.
Don't say him and Pogba got injured. Don't say him and Pogba got injured. Pogba got injured. Don't say him
bro,
and Pogba got injured.
Facts, because the facts are there. You know, your dinner's on the plate and it's there.
When we're talking about how good Maguire was last season and that, and how I remember Elijah was talking about, since November last year, Maguire has actually been quite rare. Now what we try and do? Give it to Bailly. Bailly's the reason that we kept those 9 out of 11 clean sheets. No,
I
stuff.
Said.
I'm sorry.
I said.
Too erratic.
Did.
Way too
I
erratic.
I said. Did generally, bro.
He can't stay fit.
Whatever I said. Said.
He can't stay fit. I said, he's unreliable, bro. Bro, yeah. He's the kind. He's the kind of guy that will. He will do a bigger madness than Maguire sometimes, bro.
He might. Yeah. He's the kind of guy. I just feel much more scared when defenders are running it and they're not getting past by you. You're not getting past by when you're running it. You're not really beating them in the air. Like, what do you mean? You're not getting past him. Tell me where Bailly's getting run past. Tell me where Bailly's getting run past. Maguire, anyway, the bottom line is, Maguire, I'm sorry. Since Varane's come in, your legs are looking jelly. End of.
All right. Maguire's dead as well.
Let's move on to Shaw because me personally, I feel like he's been worse than Maguire since we've come back. Has Shaw gotten to the stage now where he knows he's number one? As Solly said, the socks are getting lower. You know, it looks like he's coasting again. Do you think this is a potential problem, Michael?
You could tell us is out, right?
Yes, I think he's still injured.
So Shaw's getting a little bit too comfy. The thing is, like, he assisted Ronaldo last week for his goal against Newcastle. I thought, okay, you know, Shaw offers something going forward that Wan-Bissaka doesn't. So then he probably.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Getting forward, linking up with the play. I'm like, right, he's actually doing.
It's only me that with Michael.
Like, we focus more on the.
Hey, Michael, what's your connection saying, bro?
What happened?
Your connection's.
Oh, but.
Yeah. Calm.
You keep freezing, bro.
Yeah, it's back. It's back now. I think I'm back.
Yeah.
Basically, what I was saying is that essentially, what I was trying to say was I think that sure, because he can attack more, we probably put less focus on him than we do with someone like Wan-Bissaka, who's not good at moving forward. So the fact that Shaw set up Ronaldo last week and whatnot, so we let him blight with it. But he does need to be careful. He cannot slip into the way he was a few years ago when he's the number one left back and he's got no pressure on him. So Tellez needs to run it back and get back to full fitness. So there's some competition, you know.
Cool. I want to speak about Ronaldo because for me, like I said in the chat on Sunday, that little step over and shift to the left, he's cooking people with that, bro. He is cooking people with that.
Wait, man done it under no pressure. And then the turn of pace was so funny, man.
He's cooking man with that. He's cooking that. Bro, this guy should have 2 points from Kufa and Zuma because that step over and shift to the left, no one's catching him, bro. No one's catching him. Nah, but...
Done.
Hey man, that guy is ineligible. He's done it again. What did you think about his performance as a whole?
His best performance overall for me since he's arrived. I know I went to the game against Newcastle. He was anonymous. So was most of the team. They had a flat back, two banks of four. We struggled to break him down. Like A1 said, playing to the right back and Wan-Bissaka going back inside all the time. But I think yesterday, what impressed me the most is not only his dangerous positions to try and win the penalties, his also goal was impressive for me. He kind of pounces. We win the ball back. Bruno looks and he's just like there, ready to make the run straight away. Aaron Cresswell's not even set. And he's there to follow up and get the tap in. But I think for me, it was his all-round link-up play. Like, Ronaldo has adapted his game. And of course, we know that he's more of a centre forward now. He wants to be scoring goals. But I find himself in that sort of left-hand channel and then dropping into the number 10 role a little bit. And I see him trying to do a few little one-twos, ball carries, nick it off in the park and stuff. And I just thought, you know what, Ronaldo? I don't know if it was just because of the big pitch. It was, you know, West Ham's Olympic Stadium. But his all-round game just looked very accomplished. I feel like the first few games, he's maybe been adjusting to obviously coming back into the club, all-star to play. But, yeah, for me personally, I think it was his all-round game that really impressed me the most. He retained possession pretty well. I know we didn't really try and play the long ball and hold-up play, which I'm glad about because I don't think he's got that sort of in his locker more time. So I think, yeah, stylistically, that was our best game of the season, even though we haven't been amazing. And I think Ronaldo, his all-round game was good, man. So I think it's a positive to see going into the next few games, and especially him having an all-round game and scoring because a lot of players... I know people will laugh, even Cam probably, because I love Martial, but look at Martial's performance against City away last year. That was a very good performance in terms of hold-up play and ability and linking it up, but he didn't get the goal, whereas Ronaldo did that and got the goal. So for me, yeah, it's a very, very good, solid 8 out of 10 performance, man.
8 out of 10 is a bit much, but yeah. I agree with you for the most part. I think one issue I had with him is that he's dropping too deep, man. He's coming too deep. And this is the thing, like...
This is where we miss Rashford, though. As much as I hate Rashford day one, this is where we miss Rashford's outburst and outlook.
Do you know what? Yeah, I want us to get onto Rashford still. We will get onto Rashford because I want to say a few things about him still. But the thing is, like, Ronaldo wants to affect the game in any way possible. He needs to understand that the best way that he will affect the game for us is to score goals. We need him play as the number nine. I don't want him doing what Ibra was doing when Ibra was at the club, coming up to the halfway line to get the ball. Because playing for United, there's going to be times where you're going to be starved of service. Like, and you're going to get bored and you're going to think to yourself, well, I'm the best player on this team and get me the ball. Let me do something with it. So you're going to wander. You're going to come deep. You're going to try and affect the game in areas where you may not be as effective as you would be in the box. There were 3 or 4 occasions where the ball came in yesterday and Ronaldo just wasn't there. And the reason that he wasn't there is because he dropped too deep to try and pick up the ball elsewhere. And we all know he's not got the same pace that he's had over the years or whatever. So I just want him, the only critique, just a small one, because again, I think he was good yesterday and he should have had 2 penalties.
That's why I said 8, because 2 penalties, I wouldn't have had a goal.
Do you know what I mean? But just be that poacher that we want. I just want a poacher. I want you on the end of everything. I don't want you dropping too deep. I don't want you to do the target man thing. I don't want you to try and deep lie him forward. I don't want none of that, bro. I want advance forward. I want poacher. That's what I want from you. Get on the end of things. I know it's hard because I know you've got flipping Spider-Man on the right-hand side that don't know how to cross the ball. But trust me, in the long term, it's going to be better for the team if he can just stay in and around the box. But other than that, I was happy with his performance. I thought he done well, and he should have had two penalties and probably two more goals if he's the one taking those pens.
It's quite interesting because I was listening to the Marcotti and Jules Laurent podcast, and Marcotti was saying that people who don't watch, who haven't watched Ronaldo regularly these past few years, they don't realize that he still roams as much as he used to, especially to that left hand side. And we've seen it a lot. So the two pens that we should have got, it was from him coming from that left hand side. Mm. So that might be something that we just can't get out of his game, because he probably still likes to touch the ball a lot. And if he's still scoring goals, it doesn't matter, because that was the problem with Ibrahimovic, because there was a good period for like 2-3 months he wasn't scoring enough goals to justify the fact that he was playing like a DM. So I mean, like, if he continues to score goals, it should be fine. But the last person that I want to get onto was Solskjaer, because I feel like, as Timmy mentioned earlier, the subs, he got the subs right. And I feel like he deserves some praise for that, because even me, when I saw Sancho and Lingard come on, I thought, okay, I saw Pogba come off and I thought, he hasn't played well, but I mean, Fred has been a disgrace on the pitch, so taking him off is a bit mad. But I feel like, and then the Matic sub, his two subs linked up for the goal that essentially won us the game. So is this something that, hope, is this...
Why can't he do this in Europe?
I was just about to ask that question. Does he get stage fright in Europe? Because it seems in the Premier League, he's regularly instigating our comebacks with subs. Because you have to remember Cavani last season, Rashford, Bruno versus West Ham.
But bro, aren't these obvious changes though?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, when, for me, it doesn't even matter whether it's Europe or domestic. When it comes to the big games, the semi-finals and the finals, no matter if it's domestically or not, because we've got to loads of semi-finals under him, we've just still got it wrong. So his in-game manager, like, I can't remember. It might have been Cam's, to be fair. So big up to him. I saw a tweet he put out and it was like, as much as like his man management is great and players have improved under him, has Ollie improved his in-game management over the time he's been here? And when he said that, I read that and I was like, do you know what? That's a great point, because I just don't know if he has. Like, I wasn't exactly buzzing when he brought on Lingard and Sancho. I was happy that he brought on Sancho. But the Lingard one, I didn't know for me if it was a bit of a sentiment thing, because he had played at West Ham and he thought, do you know what? He might know how to unlock them. But it worked for him yesterday. But in other games, I don't think it's always going to work. And I think, like A1 said, we've seen that time and time again. And especially in the big games where we haven't got to the finals, or we haven't won those semi-finals to get into finals. So, you know, it's West Ham away. We've got to take into account, Elijah, they played on Thursday in the Europa League. So you was expecting them to tire anyway. So whether he's bringing on Martial or Lingard or Sancho or Van de Beek, you would expect them to kind of have an impact because of the tiredness and fatigue that West Ham are going to have.
Fair enough. Michael, you got anything to add to that?
No, I just think... yeah, nothing to add, man. Nothing to add. You're not going to do this in Europe. I don't... then what's the point in it? Like I say, Man United is a team we should be competing in Europe. We should be getting to that stages. And if you're... We see our Premier League rivals, Chelsea, winning it. Our rivals, Man City, in the final as well. So this is the level we see ourselves on. We should be getting there, and he should be making the decision regardless of the competition.
Mm. But anyway, lads, 5 games, 4 wins, 1 draw. I believe it's 12 scored, 4 conceded. I might be wrong. Mm. But it's 13, I think. But yeah. Or 13.
5-4-1-1-2.
13, yeah. Yep. So, we're essentially joint. We're not joint top because we're below on goal difference. But we are essentially on the same points as Chelsea and Liverpool. Do you feel like, of course, City have had a slow start in terms of they've drawn versus Southampton and lost to Spurs. Do you feel like it's going to be that is going to be the race for the title now?
We've had an easier run than some of our competitors, particularly Chelsea. They've had three tough away games, and to take 7 points from those away games, very commendable. Mm. You can see one goal.
Which is the three tough games?
Man, it's never for Arsenal like that, yeah?
I'll put my Arsenal away. For us, anyway, it's a tough game.
Yeah, for us. Don't do that.
Let me ask you a question, yeah? And I want you to be completely honest with me. Yeah, for Chelsea, what would be a harder game? Arsenal away or West Ham away?
Probably West Ham away.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
So don't tell me they had three really tough away games when one of them was Arsenal, bro.
Like we said, Touchy Foxes is coming soon. That's what I'm going to say, bro. Exactly. that's what I'm going to say.
No, Arsenal are dog shit. But obviously, they went there and cleaned them. And obviously, they went to Tottenham, did their thing. And they went to Liverpool and
Tottenham
they
held their shit own, team, by the way. So. I'd rather play West Ham. I'd rather play Tottenham away than West Ham away as well. And that's me being dead honest at the moment. Tottenham. They are terrible.
No, they might be as bad as Arsenal still.
So funny, yeah, because we got them. But these are the type of games we don't even win, man. It gets vexed, bro.
It gets sticky for us. I don't know what's going on with us at the Emirates recently, but it gets sticky.
Yeah.
But
you said about City-Chelsea, innit?
If Chelsea win, it's scary. It's very scary. If Chelsea win, it's very, very scary.
Michael, they're winning the league.
Yeah, if they win that game,
they are so complete. I see. By the way, A1, do you see what Jay was saying today about Rudiger and Christensen, top five centre-backs in the world? I thought, I don't even know why I brought it to here, but that guy is on some, I don't know.
Hey, do you know what? Yeah, pick him up because he's bare passionate and I love it. He wears heart on his sleeve.
There's heart on his sleeve and then there's that there. Yeah,
that one there's a little bit...
Yeah, I think Chelsea, for me, to be honest, the Tuchel result away at Liverpool just shows everything of champions. And I'm going to say it on here, and I said it on a tweet yesterday as well. This is really giving me 0-4 vibes with Mourinho. They're so hard to break down. They're not the greatest to watch, but I actually have to say on the counter yesterday against Spurs, I think they could have had 4 or 5 in that second half. But they're just so accomplished. I think like it's a mentality thing. They've won things. They're also very well drilled. Their coach can adapt at halftime. Look at the change. Bringing on their little fanboy, Mason Mount, and bringing on N'Golo Kante. Completely changed the dynamic of the game. And it's them little tweaks there that will get you them extra 3 points, them 2 points to win you a title at the end of it. And I just think for me, even with the Saul being dragged at halftime, I just think that, like, yes, he got dragged. However, you've got Kovacic, Jorginho and Kante there. That's the only position I thought there was a bit lightweight, because if one of them gets injured, you've only got two men left in the pivot when you could be playing Champions League and league. But having Saul there now, who's multifunctional, can play left back. He's a left-footed midfielder as well alongside them. I just think now they've got the perfect balance. And of course, Lukaku, look at his goals. The goal against Arsenal for me, Werner does not score that goal, which Lukaku scored, getting the ball and spinning and having the desire to get past, I think it was Pablo Mari. Exactly. Yeah. Werner doesn't do that. And again, the goal against Zenit, people say Chelsea can't break down teams of a low block. Yes, they struggle like us, but who's there to make it 1-0 and get the goal? That is Lukaku. So, you know, at the end of the day, they've got a complete squad. I think they're very well drilled. They play two formations. And if they keep their players fit, I'm massively worried about Chelsea, man. And I think this is a big game for City. They could be 6 points off Elijah after 5 or 6 games. And I think, you know, as much as people say, oh, yeah, they were 11 points behind December last year, this is a different league this year. Big problem for City if they don't win that game.
If Chelsea,
you might think I'm wrong. I just think Chelsea are really accomplished.
No, they're looking strong. They only conceded one goal and they're blazing teams. So if they go to City, the champions, and win without...
It's at the bridge, I think.
Oh, it's at the bridge. Okay, fine. Yeah. That would have been... But yeah, still, even still, if they win and they don't concede...
It's at the bridge, yeah?
Mm, 12:30 kickoff. And United's game's been moved to 12:30 as well, but it's not on telly.
What? Yeah.
Man United's been moved to 12:30.
Why?
There's a festival or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, City are beating Chelsea, by the way, on Saturday.
Swear like that. What, and Tuchel's screening up on them, yeah?
City are beating Chelsea on Saturday.
Nah, so two.
Can you break down for me? Okay, break down for me why you think they beat Chelsea. I'm interested. Instead of you just saying, like, they beat them, I want to know why, especially when they haven't
taking,
got nine.
Without taking up too much time, because obviously we're United, innit? But just really quickly, City are the better team. They play the better football. And if Pep has learned anything in his last three games against Tuchel, then he should be able to adapt to what they do. And I think he will. He's taken three slappings from them in a row. If you remember correctly, the same thing happened with Klopp. There was a stage in Champions League and in the league where he could not get over the hump against Klopp. And then one day it just clicked. I don't think it's going to take him as long to do it. I think he's going to get him. Plus, City know if they don't win on Saturday, they now face an uphill task. I know it's really early in the season.
No, it's 6 points. That's a big 6 points.
Six points behind Liverpool, Chelsea, and United as well. Like, it's a lot because they're not all going to lose those games at the same time. They're not all going to drop points at the same time. So they're still going to be chasing those 6 points, innit? I think Pep knows how important that game is, and I think he's going to come away with something. If not a win, then a draw. I don't think Chelsea will.
Love that. Big up for letting me ask Elijah as well. Thank you.
So, lads, we're going to move on to listeners' questions now. Ask some listeners' questions in the chat, but we'll grab some from Twitter right now. We're going to start off with something light. What is the best fail comp you've ever seen, not including the one from last week that doesn't exist anymore? But we're not going to name any names about that one.
Boy, Setman will get mad. There's two 9 a.m. lovers in here. One of them's got a pillow. Bro, do you sleep on that Martial pillow?
It took you 1 hour to draw me, yeah? Okay.
Bro, that pillow is just there looking all shiny and
Listen, I'm riding to the end for this guy.
Respect.
We had to move on, but I was actually going to say, with this Ronaldo signing, who's going to be the full guy? He has not got no minutes. I never thought, if someone told me 12 months ago, this guy would be an unused sub, I would have been like, what? Like, from his 18-19 or 19-20 post-lockdown form, I thought Martial is back. Like, I actually think, I'm going to say, A1, you was on with me when I said this. Forget Ronaldo. Sancho, Rashford, Cavani, Greenwood. If you put all these men on the pitch and you say, right, today you lot, every single one of these men are going to play to the best of their ability, 10 out of 10. Martial is the best out of all of them. I don't care. He is natural ability. He's the best out of all of them. He is. You can laugh. He is. He gets so much slander. And I get it for last season's form and all the Ballon d'Or. But there's so many pundits and Henry that people thought this guy is so Berbatov, so high level. He's shown two seasons of it. The Van Gaal year and then Mourinho when he came in. 3 out of 5 player of the month and then took him out. And then post-lockdown showed what he could do. He didn't kick on last season. I hope he gets a run of games. He's going to play on Wednesday. And I know it's going to hurt. But these man, I know these people can come.
Look, I only laugh.
I'm riding it to the end, man.
The most thing he's done this season is what? When he growled at that fucking dinosaur with his partner. That's
real talk. All right, Michael, man. Who's the AM fan in here with me? Who's the AM fan?
It's me, bro. It's me. Right, I say at the start of every point, it's 9 a.m., bro.
Fan, man. All right, Elijah, you get it. You get it. If
Marshall
Why do people not rate him like so bad? They think he's so bad,
bro. I'm staying silent because I don't need to do my propaganda because Tyrone's done it all for me.
Talk like
no, the Gestapo will be. I can't believe the way
these men do not like fundamentally. This guy's a very good footballer. No,
yeah, when he comes to one touch, you touch, I touch, he's great at it, but he just doesn't show it enough, man. There's no point in talking about ability if you don't want to show it.
Who cares about you touch, I touch, bro? Put the ball in the net, fam.
I hope he plays well on Wednesday. Elijah, we got to pray for this guy in the morning on Wednesday.
I hope we get knocked out.
Could you imagine Martial's on that pitch yesterday and he missed that chance that Ronaldo done? Oh my goodness. I would have stayed off Twitter for 24 hours. It's real.
Bro, the difference is people like Ronaldo can miss them chances because they're the ones that put us in the position we're in anyway. He's not contributing nothing.
But let's let's get back to the question. What's the best fell comp you
use? Martial one, for sure.
I can't lie, but the worst thing is, mine wasn't even a fell comp. It was just Ronaldo versus Cole 1v1 in 06-07. But Lampard stunk so much that he had a fell comp in that comp. When I tell you, this guy was giving the ball away every single time he touched the ball. Even Andy Gray said it again on fucking commentary. He said, Lampard again. He's giving away again. Ah, that stinky guy, man. But yeah, that's the best for me. That's the best fell comp I've ever seen. Michael?
Well, anytime Fred plays, anytime he played football, it's a mess.
Yo, on Sunday, I was thinking, yo, you can't be this bad for no reason.
From the ball as a centre mid, you cannot run from the ball. I can't fathom it. They run.
Yeah, the funniest thing for me as well is that he done an interview a couple of days ago saying, I've been really working on getting a ball from the defenders and line breaking passes. Yeah. And then 2 days later, I was like, come on, like, step up and do your thing then. But yeah, like Mike, you summed it up perfectly. When a game's chaos or you're playing them teams away and you need that energy and mobility in there, that's what he's there for. Simple as that. That is literally it. Like, not ball for security, no breaking up play because his legs, every time I feel he goes in for a tackle, his legs are not long enough. His legs are so short. He misses the ball every time. So we're stuck with Fred. There's no point in complaining about things we can't change. Do you get what I'm saying?
Do you know what? That is actually a very good answer. That Lukaku one is actually fucking elite. That actually might be
that one. I'm going to throw Wan-Bissaka in there for mine as well when he tried doing them back. That backheel thing.
One is funny.
Yeah, the back. When Man tried doing the backheel thing and he kept missing the ball, I was like, oh no.
But the Lukaku one's jokes as well. Do you know what? Yeah, hey, there's been some fun. Hey, that Lukaku one where he tries back healing it. Does he fall over?
I think that's in the Champions League, isn't it?
That one might be the one still.
The funniest part was when he got the ball, put his hands out, tried a cross-field ball, went straight to a Juventus player. I was crying during the match. But, that one was from. Kier was here, thank you. This one's from Inverted Winger. Is there a way we can see Cavani and Ronaldo playing together this season?
Not for me.
He's not going to go 4-4-2.
Yeah. I don't think they complement each other really well either, personally. You've seen how Ronaldo likes to work with sort of maybe a Karim Benzema type of player, how you can see. And I don't see Cavani and them too. I think I kind of basically feel like they want to occupy the same space at times. So for me, it don't work.
Thank you. This one's from Rick ADW. Against Aston Villa and the midfield, that is pretty aggressive. What should the aim be? That's our next game at home.
That's a good question.
Do you know what? The question got posted earlier in the chat when I was scrolling through. And the question was about a Van der Beek and McTom pivot. What do you lot think about that? And would something like that be useful in a game like this against Villa?
That did you say Van der Beek and who?
Van der Beek and McTom.
Interesting, because he played Van der Beek and Matic against Everton in the last game before pre-season when we won 3-0. That could be an interesting selection. You know, we haven't seen that pivot at all yet.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen it.
I think they could complement each other pretty well. But the thing is about both of them, obviously, Van der Beek is very tidy on the ball, but then McTominay likes to play sort of that natural box-to-box driving run. So I'm just hoping that they wouldn't leave a few flagships in behind. But if Van der Beek is told just to play deep and, you know, dictate play, then it could work. I don't know if I'd try it against an Aston Villa, though, with McGinn and the way they played well against Chelsea in that back 5-2-3. Whether they stay with that, which ones they've been now suspended because he's on loan, whether, you know, are Villa going to go back to a back four?
I know McGinn came off as well with a concussion.
Yeah, concussion. So
he'll be questionable for the game.
Yeah, will Villa stay with a back five?
I thought about it and I thought, like, that could actually work. Bro, if Van der Beek just basically does Fred's job for him, I think he could do Fred's job a lot better than Fred does it.
Whereas McTom will always just be McTom, you know what I mean? Industrious, hardworking, you know what I mean? Will nick you the odd goal and he'll give you the engine in there. But someone like Van der Beek, defensively, he's not bad. I can't say that I know him to be great. I can't say that. Okay, cool. They played together against Watford. I don't remember that game.
We won 1-0 from a header from McTominay, and the rest of the game was fucking shit.
Was poor. Okay. All right, so then that might let me know that it doesn't work. But you know, I think I would like to see it. Maybe try it against them thing on Wednesday, against West Ham on Wednesday. But I don't think that is. When I put them two together, I don't look at it and think, this is terrible. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it could work. And it will just literally be, as long as Van der Beek can stay disciplined, he's so much better on the ball than a Fred. So he's already doing more than Fred does in his role anyway. So why not give it a shot? I think it will be pretty decent.
This is another one from Ricky. Knowing that eventually Pogba will have to go back in midfield, what should we expect, want from him there? I want him to play faster and take less touches.
Just technical security, man. Just be secure technically. Listen, I'm not sold on this whole, like, Pogba can't be trusted in centre midfield stuff. I think he plays his best football in centre midfield. You just need someone next to him that will play to Pogba's strengths. Because I'm sorry, there's not many midfielders in the world that you can put next to Pogba that's going to upstage him ever. There's going to be a better player than him. If you're going to put Pogba in a pivot, put someone next to him that can play to his strengths. So, yes, I think he should take less touches and play the ball faster. But also, you put a defender next to him that's going to compensate defensively and that's going to let him be him and do what he can do in the final third. Because his play in the final third is paramount to the success of this club. Without that, we don't win anything.
Yeah. Do you know what? I want to touch on something there you just said, because that debate there about Pogba off the left and Pogba central is becoming like quite a bit of a spark now. And I'll probably say there's actually a bit of divide about left or central.
Yeah.
But the way A1 just said, he plays his best football there, Elijah agreed. I agree, because the way I look at it is, if Pogba left, just say hypothetically, he left, he went to PSG or he went to Real Madrid, I say to man on pods, where does he play?
Fact.
He don't play on the left wing. He plays central midfield. So that's his position. So you play him in central midfield. End of story.
I think for me, this idea that it's embarrassing to get a player that suits another player's strengths and weaknesses is ridiculous, because we've seen it before with Alonso at Liverpool. They'll try and play next to Gerrard. Didn't work. They moved Gerrard outright. They got Mascherano. They put Gerrard in the 10. And like, just in general, you've seen it with Cruz and Modric. It wasn't working on 4-4-2. They get
Casemiro
behind him. I feel like this idea that it's poor, that we need to get someone to compliment Pogba, is a stupid idea. Essentially, we have so many attackers. Pogba playing on that left-hand side is generally wasting the attacking talent we use. So for me, it is paramount to get a DM for two reasons. Obviously, for the reasons of what a DM can bring to us, but also it allows us to get the best out of our attacking talent. Because quite frankly, as much as people will say that, oh, Pogba really came to life when he started playing left wing, it's not true. I can go through the games. Like, his first great game of last season versus West Ham, played in a double pivot. When he came on versus the Leipzig, he played in midfield. Burnley, Sheffield United as well, Fulham, central midfield. Even the game versus Everton, before he came on, he playing in central midfield. So this idea that we play him in central field doesn't play well, we play him left wing, he plays well, it's not true, because there's even games where he played left wing but he hasn't played well. The thing is, Pogba is a good player. Most of the time, he will play well. Wherever you put him, he will play well. So I feel like this idea that he can't play in a pivot is just ridiculous to me. But yeah, this one's from Posh. Are United serious title contenders under Solskjaer?
We'll know at the end of November. with this next 10 games we've got.
We're title contenders, bro. It's not even, it's got nothing to do with the manager. I could be the gaffer and we should be United contenders, bro. I'm not going to lie to you.
Ronaldo's taking up this level, talent. Upper level.
And not be contenders. I'm sorry.
The question is serious title contenders.
Yes. Bro, I've been saying it. We are expected to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. Anything other than winning the league, for me, Ole should be sacked unless he wins the Champions League. He should be sacked if he can't win the league. And that's
you know
just
what?
It. That's just
Elijah. We can make this easy, Michael. You got your thinking head on as well, yeah?
What?
Yeah.
Right. Let's all go through this. Right. So Villa at home. How many points are you saying? Three.
Three.
Everton at home. Three again.
Should be.
Yeah. Should six. Be. Right. Leicester away. What are we saying?
One.
Three.
Yep, I agree. One. So Elijah, you got the decider.
Leicester been dead this season. Plus,
forget Leicester being dead. This is after international break. They're going to be fresh. Elijah, deciding vote. What are you going to say?
Loss.
Ross, we'll go with one. So it's in the middle then. Hey, A1, you ain't going to let. We've got to do this, right? That's seven.
Loss.
And then we've got Liverpool home.
Win.
What?
We're slapping Ooh. Them, bro.
Right, you see, why do you always take it too far? Why do you always take it so far to the team?
I feel we can do it at home.
We're stuck okay.
In. So that's three out of four, and then we've got Spurs and City. And that's our next
is
six.
Going to be a fortress.
That's I mean, look,
Spurs and City after that. Will be a fortress.
I mean, this was a question that was on the YouTube, but that Tyrone was probably alluded to. But yeah. It's basically just looking at, and I'm not sure when we face Arsenal
is at the end of that run. So Leicester, Liverpool, Spurs, City. Then we play Watford, then Chelsea and Arsenal.
Ah, so out of that, just off the top of my head, I'm expecting three or four wins.
Yep.
Three or four wins. Two draws. Okay. And maybe a loss to Leicester. Yeah.
Nope.
Right. So he's actually not saying we lose to Liverpool, not lose to Chelsea, and not lose to City. Okay, Elijah, you're brave. I rate that. I respect it.
I think we'll lose to Chelsea away.
Yeah, we don't win at the bridge, man. Apart from when Maguire
decides. But any home game, we're winning.
Do you know how I'm chatting with 15, yeah? And I said, if we can come out of that whole run after Arsenal and we're within 6 points, I know it might sound a lot, but if we're within six or less of the leaders, we've got a chance because the run after that is sensational.
Yeah. Because I think from game 15 to game 27, we don't face like a proper good team. Like we have West Ham and Leeds and Everton, I believe, but those are our hardest fixtures in that run.
I tell you what we'll do. We'll run it back, run the pod back after these fixtures, and we can talk about it. We can analyze where it came from.
Telling man, I told you so again.
Okay, mate. Okay. this is another one from the YouTube from Lucky Luciano. If you had to choose Jude or Haaland,
Jude.
Oh, for our team, Jude. Yeah, definitely easy.
Mm. Really?
Easy.
I've got too much faith in Greenwood, man. I've just got too much faith in Greenwood. Jude is what we need.
Yeah, you get Jude in. Woof. We're a big problem. We're a big problem with him in the team.
Hey, man. For me, it's like a hard. It's actually a hard question because.
Very good question. To be fair, yeah. You could just Ronaldo's here for 2 years.
Yeah, Ronaldo's here for 2 years, isn't it? But for me, long term, stick Haaland and Greenwood up top. I don't care about the rest of the team, man. They will give us 50 goals between them every season.
If Pogba goes like we expect him to, bro, look at our midfield.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking. That's the only reason Bellingham is a direct Pogba guy, isn't it?
I know. And the thing is with Jude is that he's a proper box to box player as well. Like he's a proper box to box player. So it would lessen the need for like people are constantly saying defend first. DM, which is a shit term, but I'm still gonna pick Haaland still because, hey man, goals will win you games. Tyrone,
That's really tough. I'm gonna go with Jude. Just, especially the yeah. I'm gonna go with Jude. Just, that's tough, man. Yeah, I'm stuck.
Fair enough. This one's from Michael Griggs 26. Has De Gea earned forgiveness now for the Europa League final?
I'll never know that.
Yeah, like what can you do? It's a penalty shootout. It's not. Louis van Gaal made the big call when he needed to put Cillessen in. Ollie didn't, and you know, if that's not De Gea's strong point, the rest of his game is good. So we can't really blame him for that, man. And also, let's not get it twisted. We had 2 hours, 120 minutes is 2 hours of football to score a goal. The other 8-10 players out on the pitch didn't do that.
Facts.
The answer for that is no.
in a short way.
you can't be shit for three seasons, end it with that, and then think a penalty save makes that up. So, I mean, he was great for three seasons before that, but still. I mean, you're back at ground zero now. Nice pen save. It was a shit pen at it. Anyway, so he should have saved it. So we move in it. Well done. Hope you don't tell off like you done last season, innit? This one's from DJ Inton. So what round of the Europa League do you think will get knocked out by Barcelona?
Hey, we're beating them.
Bro, he said Europa League.
That's a hilarious question. I like that. Firstly, I think quarterfinal Europa League, we buck Barca, and then the pie spins on our heads.
Nah. Like, yeah, stop that, bro. I don't like the negative energy, man.
Nah. I'm joking still, but nah. Hey, man. This one's from Sweet Chin Melody. Knowing how Man United move with contracts and Ronaldo's arrogance, do you think there's a possibility we extend past his 2 years?
If he delivers after 2 years and he wants to stay, he's going to stay. I feel like his performances will get him the contract if he wants it, and Ollie is definitely not going to turn around and say no.
If he delivers this year, then we'll extend. Hold on, it's a 2+1 though, isn't it? He's not staying any longer than 3 years.
Yeah, okay, if it's 2+1, then we're definitely activating that year. I agree with A1.
Year regardless.
Yeah. So taking 39, innit? Yeah.
Man's gonna need innit nearly 40, you know.
Trust.
Hey, Ibra's still doing it, bruv.
True that.
This one's from ML Doms. What will it take for Sancho to understand that the only attackers that thrive under Ollie are the Mavericks? Essentially, he's saying he needs to stop playing like Van de Beek, or is he playing it safe to avoid a Coombs comp? That's a fell comp, by the way.
Listen, I want him to play his game and just get down. You know what I mean? I just want him to get comfortable to the way we play. I want him to get comfortable to the league. I just want him to just be comfortable, and then you'll see the best of Sancho. Too many people think that this guy's not worth the money, or he's going to fail, he's not that good. Like, I'm here to tell you all, like, he's the real deal. And I'm someone that watched him religiously at Dortmund. I understand styles of play are different. He is a link-up player, like link-up winger. He does love the one-touch, two-touch, etc. He is somewhat like Van de Beek in the way that he likes to play football and, you know, pass and move. But that's not all his game is tailored to. He's got an exquisite final ball. He can beat his man. He's not the quickest, but his eye for a pass as well is out of this world. Just give the boy time. He's had no preseason. He's had it tough first couple games. I'll admit that he's been in and out of the team. I think he's had what, two starts?
Yeah.
Young boys and Wolves, right?
Yeah. Wolves was a tough opener, man. Wolves.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And it was tough. You get me? Like, by November, when we're ready to like get deep into these runner games, you're going to start seeing the best of Sancho and watch him deliver. Watch.
This is going to be the final question. If you had to sell one in January, this was a cool question we put out yesterday, but I want to see what the panel will say. If you had to sell one in January, who would you sell, Lingard or Van de Beek?
Oof.
Van de Beek. Good one.
He's going to play Lingard more than he's going to play Van de Beek. But I would love to see Van de Beek play.
Yeah, so I'm selling Lingard.
I'll sell Lingard. Yeah.
Great servant, why? But sorry, man. Yeah, I just think Van de Beek.
Man needs to allow.
Yeah, like you've seen Lingard. So we know what we've seen Lingard. A1, we've seen Lingard. We know what he can do. Van de Beek, we actually haven't seen what he can do at Manchester United. He's also got age on his side as well, 23, 24. He's a good player, man. He scored away at Real Madrid. He scored away at Spurs. He scored away at Juventus. Like, he's a good footballer. And I think he just needs to run a game.
The chance.
So are you selling it? Right. So wait, your decision is based off who's going to play rather than ability. Yeah?
Yes. And on top of that, Jesse's really good at football. Jesse's a good footballer. He's better than Martial.
Wow.
He's better than Martial. I'm sorry. He's better than Martial.
Wow. That's a big claim.
So with Lingard, if he doesn't sign a contract anyway, with the last six months on his contract, that Van de Beek will probably have 3 years. Does that come into your decision? Plus, he's younger, so we will probably get more money out of him. If it means a defensive midfielder coming in, who is the better asset to sell?
Elijah putting his own little plot twist on it.
Van
de Beek, isn't it?
Yeah, because he's got years of his contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he commands a higher fee.
By the way, I see Fabrizio say that United potentially with the Lingard obviously goal, like blah blah blah, looking at a new deal for him. Do you think that's a new deal just to sell him?
No, I mean, they don't know. United aren't that wise. They don't know what they're doing. He's
proving his worth, though.
He's doing all right.
I mean, look,
he's a good squad player, man.
Look, fair enough. He scored, and like you said, he is a good squad player. But is he replaceable? Yes. Do we have enough depth to not miss him?
Of course, yes. We set him on loan.
100%.
So, at the end of the day, he is good, and so is Van de Beek for me. But it's just very interesting, because if you asked this question 12 months ago, mate, Lingard's out the door. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And we've seen with Lingard as well, as is on the screen right now, very much a purple patch player as well.
Mm-hmm.
And... Mm-hmm. Me, I don't know. Me personally, if I'm thinking about getting a DM, I would sell Van de Beek. And the thing is with Lingard, in terms of bringing someone off the bench to do what Ollie wants to do, he's probably better than Van de Beek. Even though it's weird, because Van de Beek at Ajax was essentially an off-the-ball player.
Like,
he was generally doing what Lingard does, plus the added technical security to this game. So to see him like this is actually quite interesting. But I think we'll leave it there.
That was sick.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone. Michael, Timmy, Tyrone again. Say, could you drop the details on Never the Far again?
Yeah, perfect, man. First of all, like I said, when I started the show, big up for you guys having me. A1, give me the shout. Great to share, obviously, the platform with Michael, Elijah, yourself as well. Great hosting. Love, so, yeah, bro. Shout out to you guys, man, at Frackers,
love,
man.
Love,
but, yeah, find us at Never A Foul. That's on Twitter and also YouTube. And that's for all our platforms. We have generic content for football going on there. And then myself, obviously, part of the Never Foul team. We've just started our Manchester United channel, which is Trafford Tunnel, and on Twitter you can just type that Tunnel Trafford or Trafford Tunnel, either way. Same for Instagram as well, same with Never A Foul on Instagram. So yeah, please go and support both of them, especially if you're a Man United fan. I'm gonna have these guys on as well, man. So like I said, a pleasure having me on, And yeah, man, let's hopefully Martial Elijah can bag on Wednesday, yeah?
We're running it back. We're running it. I told you right now it's 8:45. When the alarm rings at 9 a.m., we're cooking, bro.
I'm glad I've met another Martial member, man. We have to keep it going, man.
You love to see it. And that's how, and that's how we're going to end the fun.
Hey, man, turn your camera off, man. Great show, guys. Honestly, big up, man.
Sports Social Podcast Network.